Two of the biggest obstacles people face when they are being called into the truth are tithing, because it affects your income, and in this age, personal income is a big factor in your life. And the other is the Sabbath, because it could impact your livelihood. That is, if it conflicts with your job, you may have to quit your job because of the Sabbath and seek another one. And in a lot of cases, especially in tough economic times, that's not that easy to do. When I was coming into the truth, I was reading the old United States and Great Britain in prophecy from worldwide. It was printed prior to 1969. And at my work, while I was on graveyard shift, I had a lot of time. I was working in the hospital at a prison. And we had a lot of time on our hands. So, you know, one of the things that most of us did was read. And I was reading this book. And I really found the United States and British Commonwealth and prophecy interesting, because I sort of had an inclination towards prophecy. I had read the book written in the 1960s called The Gift of Prophecy by Gene Dixon, the ninth edition, which was actually printed in 1965. And it wasn't until I read The United States and British Commonwealth and Prophecy for the second time that God opened my mind. And, you know, I can be a little slow at times, to the truth about the Sabbath. I had to read it twice. And I had been counseling with the minister in Worldwide at the time, and I started attending services, but I was still working for the prison. And I was talking to a member one day, and that particular Sabbath, I had worked graveyard shift, and I was talking to them, and very friendly, and I said, you know, I just got off, you know, the graveyard shift earlier this morning, and I got dressed, and I came to church, and I was kind of excited, and this person gave me this look, you know. And of course, you know, you get this look, and the wheels are turning in my mind, and you just get the feeling, well, something is not quite right here. They didn't say nothing, they didn't criticize me, they just gave me this sort of funny look. So anyway, that was fine. I get back to work, and, you know, lots of time to think about things, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. It's not just the fact that you have to keep the Sabbath. You can't work on the Sabbath. I mean, you know, and so I put my finger on it. So the next time I had a ministerial visit, I was talking to the minister, and I says, I know you never said nothing initially, but I have a feeling that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Is that correct? And he says, that's correct. Oh, what are we going to do now? So here I'm back to work, and I'm on day shift. And, of course, what am I going to do? So I'm walking back and forth upstairs, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I've got this dilemma. So finally I decided, that's it. I was scheduled to work Saturday, and this was Friday. And I said, I can't work. I just cannot work. And it wasn't 2 seconds after I made up my mind, that determination, that the man in charge of the shift came upstairs and he says, Renee. I says, yes. He says, we've got a problem. Can you work a double shift today? Because the fellow that was supposed to come in on work afternoons called in sick, and we would like you to work a double shift. I says, Bill, I'll work a double shift if I can have Saturday off. He says, it's a deal. So I knew right away that once I had committed to not working, that God had intervened. And I was very grateful for that. One of the most remarkable statements made by Christ, which goes over most people's heads, is a statement found in Mark chapter 2. And I'd like you to turn there in Mark 2 and in verse 27. And Mark 2, verse 27 says, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Now think about this for a moment. Made means cause to be, bring into existence, or create. Now if you come to my house, I can proudly show you my chicken coop, which I built. I made it. I created it in a sense. I put it together. And you would probably say, I noticed that. You know, the doors are crooked and, you know, the roof is not straight. It's self-evident that you made this. But the point is, you know, I created it. I made it, you know. And you know, I had the idea in my mind, and I didn't use a blueprint. I just, you know, from experience, and I built this thing, and it's quite functional. And the chickens aren't complaining. Apply this principle to the Sabbath. God created it. He made it for man. And he further expanded on it in verse 28 of Mark 2. He says, "Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Christ not only created the Sabbath, he was Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, he is supreme in authority over the Sabbath, the controller of the Sabbath, and master of the Sabbath, per Strong's definition of that word. And most people miss the whole point made here in regards to the Sabbath. Just when was it created? So let's go back to the book of Genesis. At the beginning, in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, in verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So God did not rest from all his works because he was tired, but he was still in the process of creating. In other words, he created the Sabbath, as it says, and he created it for man and sanctified it. That is, he put his presence in the Sabbath. He blessed the Sabbath with his presence. He has not blessed Sunday, a cheap satanic counterfeit for the real thing, nor Friday, another counterfeit, nor any other day of the week. He blessed and sanctified the Sabbath, the day that we call Saturday today. And it's the only holy day of the week set aside by God for worship, to worship him. Now let's look at when it was codified on tablets of stone. If you turn over to Exodus 20, we spent some time in Exodus 20 on the lying scripture. Now we'll go up a little higher and talk about the Sabbath. In Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." Notice, it's the Sabbath of the Lord your God, not the Sabbath of the Jews, not our Sabbath. It's his Sabbath. "In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and also hallowed it." You know, this is the longest commandment as far as words are concerned, word use. And in this particular example, it's 98 words in the above quote, which is an indication of the importance, since God doesn't waste words. He could have merely said, "Keep the Sabbath." A short, direct command like the one, "You shall not murder," which is 4 words. But God chose to elaborate on this command and also give the historical reference that it goes back to creation. And instructions also. Your manservant, your maid servant are not to work on that day. In other words, if you have a business, you shut the business down for the day. This is reemphasized in Deuteronomy, where the commandments are recorded a second time, proving their importance, the emphasis on it. So if you'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 5, we'll read what it says there in regards to the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse 12, it says, "Observe the Sabbath to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. In this example, there's 135 words used. It's even longer than the commandment in Exodus 20. Here again, emphasizing the importance in God's mind of keeping the Sabbath. Now, some things worth noting. Things that were not said. I want to introduce a new concept here called the Sabbath. No, he says, remember the Sabbath. Forget about the Sabbath because it's not really important. That wasn't said either. Or don't keep the Sabbath. No, remember the Sabbath. And if it says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, you don't use terminology like this if it's something new that you're introducing or something they never even heard of. God says remember, and the world quickly forgets and keeps a new day, Sunday or Friday, which is typical of human nature. God blessed it and hallowed it, the Sabbath, by putting his presence in that day. And it is mentioned again as a day of rest in Exodus 23, a few pages over. In Exodus 23, in verse 12, it says, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant, and the stranger that may be refreshed. So here again, that principle is used that anybody that comes under your jurisdiction, if you had servants in that, they were to rest on the Sabbath also, which would include, obviously, if you have a business. Its importance and significance are further amplified in Exodus 31. In Exodus 31, beginning in verse 13, Exodus 31 and verse 13, it says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. In verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. So God took it very serious. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death, reemphasizing the importance of it. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Not something that was instituted for a few days, a few weeks, as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. A reference back to creation week. Things to bear in mind. We are spiritual children of Israel. And it is a perpetual sign throughout your generations. So something that is to be kept throughout all the generations. A sign identifies and designates a function or a trade. For example, you might see a sign in front of a store that says, Sony products repaired here. You know they repair Sony products and not RCA or Westinghouse. So the sign is quite specific. They do not sell new ones but repair old ones. Here again, very specific. The Sabbath is a sign that we worship the true God. It's important to remember that, brethren. The Sabbath is a sign that we're worshiping the true God of creation. It shows we know the Lord. We come to know Christ, the God of the Old Testament, who gave the Sabbath command to Moses and the Israelites at the time, and which was kept by the righteous servants of God from creation. Let's go over to Genesis 26. And this is a verse about God speaking to and about Abraham. In Genesis 26, in verse 4, it says, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Verse 5, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Now, it doesn't say he kept 9 of the 10 commandments. He says he kept all of the commandments. Abraham kept all of God's commandments, including the Sabbath. The Sabbath was in place from creation, not something that was newly introduced to the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. I'd like you to turn over to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119 and verse 172, Psalm 119, verse 172, it says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous." All of God's commandments are righteous. If all God's commandments are righteous, then the righteous keep all the commandments. The two are inseparable. Back to my story. So now, I have to quit my job, right? Because it conflicts with the Sabbath. So my wife says, "What do we do now? I mean, I'm married and I have two children and one on the way." I says, "Well, God will provide. Step out on faith." So anyway, I said, "I know what I'll do. I'll go back and work at the plywood mill that I worked at before I got this government job. They'll hire me back." But my wife says, "They work shift work." I says, "I know, honey, but it's not like the prison where they work on weekend. The only shift I have to really be concerned about is afternoon shift on Friday afternoon, because graveyard shift ends, you know, Thursday morning, and I don't have a thing to worry about. Day shift is not a problem." So off I go to the plywood mill, and oh, they're glad to see me back. I've been gone for 4 years. So they hired me right away. No problem. So I'm working in the mill, and I'm working day shift, and I'm coming home, and I'm going, well, I got through a week, you know. And then I got on graveyard shift. Well, that wasn't a problem. And you know what? The fourth week, I land up on afternoon shift, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, what am I going to do now, you know. So anyway, I'm working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, and this is in the middle of the summer, and the sun sets pretty late. And I'm sitting there, and I'm working about 5 o'clock, and I'm thinking, boy, I can't work past 8:20. So I thought to myself, oh, boy, you know, I better talk to the foreman, because, you know, I'm working on a machine with three other guys, and, you know, you're a vital part of the process. You can't just, you know, walk away. So we had a little bit of a break, so I went up to the foreman, and I says, "Listen," I said, "I can't work past 8:30. Well, after I picked him up off the floor, you know, brushed him off, he says, "Why?" And I explained to him, and he says, "Okay, well, I guess you can go." So about 10 after 8, I just left. So I got home, and I says, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen." So Monday morning, I get a phone call from the personnel office at the mill. "We understand that you had to go home Friday night." I says, "Yes, because I couldn't work beyond the Sabbath." So I explained to them about the Sabbath, and, you know. So they says, "Well, we're going to have to fire you, because you're reaching a point, you know, after 30 days you have protection from the union." And I guess I had worked there, this was my fourth week, so if I'd worked there another couple of days, the union would protect me, so they would stand behind me to make some sort of arrangement. But before I'd reached that point, the union can't get involved, so they just fired me. So I said, "Well, okay." So I'm not ready to, you know, to give up yet. So off I went into New Westminster to work at another plywood mill. So anyway, I went there and I was talking to the personnel manager, and I thought, well, I'm going to play it smart this time. I'm going to tell him straight up front. So I says, incidentally, I says, I know you work shift work here and I can't work Friday after sunset. And then I got the look again. And he says, oh, yeah. And I never heard from them again either. Let's notice in Ezekiel that the Sabbath is a sign to know we are worshiping the true God. Over in Ezekiel 20. In Ezekiel 20 and verse 19 it says, I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes, keep my judgments and do them. In verse 20 it says, hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. So just when do we keep it as far as time frame? That comes a question when people are coming into the knowledge of the Sabbath. When are you supposed to keep it? So if you go to Leviticus 23 and verse 32 tells us there. In Leviticus 23 and verse 32 it says, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And although this is in reference to the Day of Atonement, the same rule applies to the weekly as well as the annual Sabbaths. They're all kept from sunset to sunset. Now let's look at Nehemiah in regards to what God did for Israel. And that's found over in Nehemiah, the ninth chapter. In Nehemiah, ninth chapter, and verse 14. Nehemiah 9:14. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses your servant. So God made known to them the Sabbath. It wasn't something invented at the time, but had been in existence since creation. So we have established that the Sabbath was created during the recreation week, and that it was kept by the righteous servants of God and revealed to the children of Israel. But the question arises, was it kept in the New Testament? This is all Old Testament stuff, you might say. Well, let's go to a couple examples, and there are many, but let's go to Mark 1. In Mark 1 in the New Testament, in verse 21, it says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, referring to Christ, he entered the synagogue and taught. So we see in this example that he taught in the synagogue. And in verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Also in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke 4, 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. This is referring to Christ again. Now notice, as his custom was. So it was his custom to keep the Sabbath. Now these are just two of many scriptures that show that Christ during his ministry kept the Sabbath. That there is no dispute about. Some of the dispute comes about, what about after his death? I mean, the Sabbath was done away with when he died on the cross. Well, let's go over to Acts and look in Acts 13. In Acts 13, and verse 42. It says, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath, in reference to Paul. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews, devout proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. So this shows that both Jews and Gentile converts were keeping the Sabbath at the time. It's clear that Paul both taught and kept the Sabbath, and this is after the death of Christ, which weakens any argument that the Sabbath was done away with at the time of the death of Christ. The Sabbath is further confirmed as a day of worship in the book of Hebrews. If you turn to Hebrews 4, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. In Hebrews 4 and verse 8, it says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God." This is from the New King James Version, but let's look at other versions which make the meaning more clear as to its intent. And we're going to focus in on verse 9. The alternate version has it, "So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." The King James Version, with Strong's Concordance numbers beside it, says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." But if you look up the word rest, it's sabbatismos in the Greek, which means Sabbath. So it could be rendered, "Therefore, there remains therefore a Sabbath to the people of God." In the literal translation, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest to the people of God." In the modern King James Version, it says, "So then there remains a rest to the people of God." And the New King James Version says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." The Revised Version says, "There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God." And Moffat has it as, "There is a Sabbath rest then reserved still for the people of God." And the interlinear diglot version has it in the original Greek, and this is how the actual wording is, "Therefore remains a keeping of a Sabbath for the people of God." And of course they have the original Greek, how the words come out, and then they write, you know, they switch the wording around to make it a little more plain. It says, "Therefore a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God." So you can see that the correct translation is that there is and there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So now we have established the Sabbath as binding on Christians today in the New Testament era. Well, what about the millennium, when Christ is ruling on the earth? Well, if we go to the book of Ezekiel, we can look at that one also. In the book of Ezekiel, in verse 1, it says, a book of Ezekiel, yeah, I better tell you the chapter, Ezekiel 46 in verse 1, it says, "Thus says the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces towards the east shall be shut for 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and on the day of the new moon it shall be opened. The prince shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside and stand by the gatepost. The priest shall prepare his burnt offerings and his peace offerings. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening." And in verse 3, "Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the entrance of his gateway before the Lord on the Sabbaths and the new moons." The setting here is the millennium, and the Sabbath is being kept. Also in Isaiah 66, if you'd like to turn there, Isaiah 66, and we'll read verses 22 and 23. Isaiah 66, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I shall make remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain." And in verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." So we have the evidence that the Sabbath will be kept in the millennium, not just by people in the church or by converted people, but all flesh. I could never understand the arguments that Christ did away with the Sabbath. He created it on creation week. The righteous have always kept it. Christ kept it, and the apostles and Gentiles in the New Testament era kept it, and it will be kept in the future. Yet according to their logic, it has been done away with for a 2,000-year span of time, that is, since the death of Christ until he returns, which really doesn't make any sense. For the simple reason that it says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is always the same. He doesn't change his mind every 10 minutes. We have the sure word of Scripture. And as has been brought out, he cannot lie. So the Sabbath is continuation right through. There's no gap in the process. Well, back to my story. So now I don't have a job again. So I, through a member of the church, he told me to go down to the Teamsters Hall, and I could probably get a job working out of the Teamsters Hall, working unloading boxcars and working on trucks, unloading trucks. So off I go, and I got on there, and I got a job. And actually, because of work ethics, which we had at the time, and a lot of people did, I ended up working down in Vancouver unloading boxcars, and it was me and a chap from Alberta, and we really worked hard. I mean, I was younger at the time and a lot stronger than I am now, but we were doing a good job. But in the meantime, I had applied for a job at the gas division. This friend of mine told me, go apply there. It's a good place to work for. So I was working there, and then one day I phoned the gas company, and I says, what about my application? And they says, yes, you've got the job. We want you to start on Monday, on the 15th of September, and this was in 1969. So I says, great. So I was still working for this company unloading boxcars. So on Friday, the last shift I was working there, I went up to the foreman and I said, listen, I got another job. I've got a job to go to on Monday. And he was very sorry to see me go. But I says, well, that's life. But anyway, I started on September 15, 1969, and a job that I know that God provided and opened doors for me. And I actually worked there until July 2007, 38 years and 10 months. And it's been a good job. I never had problems with the Sabbath. I mean, a little incident early years, but it was fine. And God worked it all out. So I know that if you put your trust in God and you obey him, he'll always work it out. That's a real lesson I learned about putting faith and trust in God in regards to the Sabbath. So what we have seen today, brethren, is that the Sabbath was made at creation. It has been kept by Abraham, the righteous, the Israelites, Christ and the apostles kept it, and the true church of God, down through history, has always kept the Sabbath. We know that after Christ returns, the Sabbath will continue to be kept, because it is the only sign that we are worshiping the true God. Brethren, let's be grateful for the precious knowledge we have that when we are keeping the Sabbath, we are following the example of the former righteous servants of God in the Old Testament, the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the example of the apostles, and the faithful members of the Church of God throughout history, and that we are worshiping the one and true God.